gentle listeners, and welcome to a very special episode of Flame On.
What's so special about it?
I'm hosting it this time.
Yay!
Yay!
Who are you
Jared
again?
Jared gets to talk.
Ooh.
Exactly. Welcome to the Gendercide. We'll be discussing how gender is portrayed in popular media today. Of course, we have the usual cadre of queers here tonight.
So I guess you liked it then.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Sorry, we had to get the wine. So evidently, Guy-Fi Podcast mentioned that they think we're more organized than they are, and they're like, you have wine. I know. You have wine all the time. I'm like, oh, not really, but I guess somewhat often.
Not okay, because you're alcoholics.
We drink.
Oh. I am. Oh. I'm admitting.
Some of us recover. Some of us are having a blast.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has nothing to do with gender, but I had to mention. Yeah, I'm here. Brian the Bear. Hello.
Brian's here. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
And we have Oral.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Oral.
Hi.
Hello, Eric.
Hello, Jared.
How are we? We good? And Question. Hi.
Hey there.
Hey. And we got Pat over here.
I never get
old. He's our living bearskin rug in the studio. All right, so for this episode, we're going to be talking about gender. But first, I would think...
Well, why are we talking about gender?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. One of our show producers, Jay Jones, had... we had the... was it the funding drive? Was it?
Yes, to get us to Gay Days.
That's right.
It was our April Nerdy Show drive, mm-hmm. and the target was to raise money for our Gay Days Expo trip.
Okay.
So, and Jay spearheaded the effort... both to get this topic up in the ranking and the alternate topic that almost won by a very narrow margin, almost a hair.
By a pubic hair.
Yes, vaginas almost was the topic that was selected, and thankfully... we're not going to be talking about that anymore.
Excellent. All right. So, well, to get this started, I thought we would talk about how gender is defined today. Anybody want to take a stab at it?
Well, I did some research.
Did you now?
Well, that's if you first. Consider... All right. It's okay. Last episode, you got pretty brutalized.
Yeah.
So, I'll take one.
I heard most of my retorts got cut out in the edit.
Oh, it was terrible. It was like... dumb.
I only cut out a couple, but
the last 10 minutes.
So, in a brief googling on Wikipedia, I think.
Oh, don't worry, I did the same thing too.
Yeah, no. I'm so sorry. I actually shouldn't. Anyway, gender can be defined by biological sex.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be defined by gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when you ask somebody about their gender, depending on their perspective, they may answer biologically, which a lot of people do think mm-hmm. of that. X and Y chromosomes mm-hmm. and all that fun stuff, or some, including our friend Cap, who had a very interesting form spring response earlier today, is a little more gender fluid, as I believe what he called
it. Yeah, gender fluid. It's very messy being around him.
Yes. I think that's that stuff in Evangelion, the orange goo that everybody pops into. I think that's gender fluid.
What?
Oh, this is
the final episode of Evangelion.
Yeah, everybody just pops. Anyway, spoiler. So,
everybody dies.
20 years later.
Spoilers. Yeah, spoilers. 20 years. But again, some people are more identifying in what they consider themselves inside. Do they consider themselves more masculine or feminine inside? And or third gender. I had not heard of third
You'd
gender.
You'd never heard of third gender before?
I probably hadn't forgotten.
Okay. What's a third gender?
It's basically other, and different cultures, they identify people in different ways. They're not all just biological. It's cultural roles and responsibilities. And I don't remember any of the specifics, so.
Well, a lot of Asian cultures.
The third gender is called a taint buster.
That's my porn name. How'd you know that?
Well, it's usually in a lot of Asian cultures that they have a lot of third gender roles for people. It's the in-betweeners or the neithers, so that's the third gender.
Give me a second.
Okay. All right, so let's jump on to...
Wait, can you go... What's the third role?
Third role is other.
Is that top... Are they automatically verse, not instead of top or bottom?
It's automatically versatile. Automatically.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't... Yeah, no, it's...
I could get into that.
Well, have you noticed in other cultures, like men holding hands that aren't gay? They don't gay identify their...
Yeah, in Asia, that's pretty big, right?
Yeah.
When I spent time in Hong Kong, You would see a lot of friends just like walking down the street, like holding hands. It's just something you do. Like, not everyone does it.
Right.
Obviously, but.
Plus, it's a little gay.
Well, you know what?
To us.
To us. Gay yeah. to us. Yeah. And I, at first I thought, I'm like, ooh, there are gay men everywhere. I'm just like, oh.
Disappointed.
All right, so let's jump on to women. It's a subject what? That some of us are familiar Woo. With, some aren't as familiar with.
I'm not.
I need a refresher course. What's that?
Vaginas. Sorry, I was yes, going to bring yes, that
up. Morrow's been there. He's not a pure blood, so vagina. He has the most experience here.
No, you're not a gold star? No, I'm not a gold
not
star.
A pure blood.
Muggle. See, this my is wand has got no taint.
This is exactly what I tell everyone. That all the gay boys make fun of me when they find out that I did it once.
So?
I was young.
So?
I didn't know what I was doing.
So?
Was it vaginal? I'm sorry. Did you have just straight up missionary style kind of vaginal?
Yeah.
No, I mean, nothing?
No.
Kind of,
no.
Okay, good. All right, just checking.
You know what? And then that's how I kind of knew that, like, that sealed the deal that I was gay. I'm just like, I mean, it wasn't bad. It was okay. It just yeah. wasn't my thing.
I got you.
All right, so these women folk
that we don't want to have sex with. Yes,
let's identify you know, the role of the women in comics, especially, and I'm sure you all will be able to you know yes. wax poetically about it. You know, has changed over the years. Can you cite some examples for me?
I take Wonder Woman for example.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, how powerful she is now, but the women in comics now today, like especially when it comes to Marvel. They seem to be the most powerful. And all the teams and stuff, they are the most powerful ones.
And what?
I've always wondered, I don't know. I mean, for me, my little fandom of seeing them more powerful is because I am a gay man. I look at myself, not that everybody does, but I look at myself as a weaker.
Mm-hmm.
And to see women so powerful kind of gives me inspiration or gives me that power to fall back.
That diva mentality?
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's where they are now. I would say right. that starting back early in the comics
yes.
era,
yes.
they were very much in, like a lot of other literature, the damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then later became the, what is it, the girl in the refrigerator?
It's a woman in the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's just terrible.
Yeah. Which I had not really read much about, although I do recall the issue from yeah. Green Lantern.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Well, evidently.
Why don't you, you know.
Question, I don't think we were alive then.
Actually,
let the listeners know.
You were sucking on your mommy's nipple.
Where did this term come from?
Well, it came from an issue of Green Lantern when Kyle Rayner, thank you. Sorry. I have a friend in Kyle Rayner. Kyle Rayner, his girlfriend was killed by force majeure. Is that?
Major force
or whatever.
Force
yeah.
majeure.
Well, they get it like all fancy. It's DC, for God's sake.
It's a playoff force majeure.
I'm surprised force. It wasn't force man. Or force boy.
I can't believe you're hating on DC. Anyway. But no, anyway, so he kills her and stuffs her in his refrigerator, Kyle's refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And it spawned this whole internet thing led by Gail Simone, now a very prominent comics writer who's a woman. Prominently a woman mm-hmm. as a comics writer, too, but see that as it may. Started this whole internet thing back when it was more like bulletin board style internet, and had a lot of other people chime in about all this women and their terrible, terrible victimized roles in comics.
And it's used as a plot device rather than being a legitimate character.
Yes, very much so. Whereas now I think a little bit more, hopefully, is character driven, like what happened recently with Mockingbird and, you know, the different, you know, female characters that have been, you know, injured and then empowered, and even Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel now. But
for those of you who need a layman translation, think old school, like 80s, 90s, Jean and, or Phoenix and.
Rogue?
No, not Storm. Rogue. No, not Storm. Sue Richards. How it's always pop up the force field. Oh, Scott. Oh, Reed. And now, like, Ultimate Sue can, like, hold back tidal waves with her mind. That's cool.
Well, she did, like, as the years progressed, she was able to. There was, like, I think Terax took up New York and started bringing it to space, and she put a force field over the whole thing.
Wow.
I mean, blood's pouring down her face. It was graphic.
Ooh.
But it was pretty good. I mean, to see her do that, and she was like, shut up.
But, I mean, you know, again, this is more recent, but back in the day, it was a plot device, and it was like, you know, damsel in distress, the woman
oh.
on the woman yeah. on the railroad
tracks.
That's what I keep thinking
yes.
of when I say damsel in distress, which actually, damsel in distress goes back even further, but, mm-hmm. I mean, this is an old archetype in media of all kinds. TV,
well, I mean,
movies,
yeah, look
literature,
at,
everything.
Look at Batgirl. She had a purse with lipstick and a compact.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, no, was it Batgirl or Batwoman? I think it was Batgirl.
Well, Batwoman definitely loves the lipstick.
Yeah, and they had like the compact she that she would get the fingerprints, you know, shit like
that
she would do. Yeah, like that was the super. But Wonder Woman, wasn't she a little bit more?
Well,
I mean, she was a dominatrix to begin with.
Let's talk about that. Back up here. If we're going to get into Wonder Woman, her origins, she was written by a very
strange,
sexually
repressed,
adventurous psychologist who actually was doing research against comics, and the comics industry, DC, co-opted him to write this character. And he based it on his very interesting personal life, where he had a girlfriend and a wife in the same house, and all of the early Wonder Woman stuff is completely like bondage everywhere.
Oh yeah,
and mostly her, which is kind of funny because he was talking about how he was trying to give a female version of like Superman, very much pro sort of woman, but the way he wrote it was pervy and totally like sexy bondage stuff.
Well, so, that's why, like, in the original series, that's how she lost her powers. Like, every time she was bound by a man,
yeah.
She was powerless. I'm like, huh.
But what about that one chick that was, they called her Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman.
That was a woman villain.
Yeah, but now in the most recent Wonder Woman arc, when she takes off her bracelets, like, her literally takes off her shackles, she becomes, like, wildly powerful. And she becomes Zeus's daughter, like fully fledged, and beats the crap out of Artemis. So completely symbolic and you know, growth for the character there.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, these characters have come a long way. Unfortunately, I'm sorry I said
like
that.
Like Virginia Slim.
Yeah, yeah. baby. But I think there's still, even to this day, sort of a misuse of women in comics. One of the writers I read pointed out that women characters are oftentimes killed off for dramatic effect, but they're not brought back very readily. Whereas the male characters, it's just a matter of when, not if. And they didn't cite any examples of that, but I'm sure if we put our thinking caps on, we might think of some woman. Well, Sue Digby, but not Digby. What's the
Dibney?
Dibney.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Do you read comics?
Shut up.
He's sick and he's drinking beer.
Identity Crisis is on my shelf. Shut up. But I mean, what's his name's not back either. So
I don't know. Ralph. So I mean that. I mean it happened. Ooh. But
what's his name's wife? The Adam's wife.
Jean.
The one that killed everybody.
Jean Loring.
Yeah.
Why do I know this?
I don't know. And you were just dishing on DC.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, Eric, since you're a huge fan of Jean Grey, I want to understand why you find her appealing. What empowerment do you feel from Jean Grey? It's the same sort of effect that so many other gay men have towards Wonder Woman.
But, okay. Do I tell the truth or do I give, like, the nice comic book version?
Give me the comic book version.
All right. The comic book version is I see this character that, for me, to looking at Jean Grey, she's the most loved in the X-Men. Like, she's been dead for so long, but almost every story arc wraps around her. She's still so prominent.
Well, hey, the evolution from Marvel Girl to
Dark Phoenix, you know, the progression, her growth. I absolute power. I love that. I'm fascinated by it. I'm intrigued by it. It would take me 5 minutes before I would destroy the world if I had the power of the Phoenix. And to see her do that, to see her struggles with the Phoenix Force, and to see that power that she possesses to do anything, to enslave the human race, that's what I want. Everybody thinks about this?
We're getting into sexual fantasies now, so let's
I didn't say man, I said the human race. I kept it, you know, diverse.
Well, I think one of the things with... Well, I'm sorry.
The rug is talking.
I need to signal in the rug. Rug talk. I think one of the things... And I love Jean Grey. And I have for a long time. And, you know, kind of talking about the role of women, especially in the comics. And I grew up with X-Men. That was huge part of my life. And from the, say, mid-90s on, I always kind of looked at the women as being kind of that oddly powerful. And I get the damsel in distress, and, you know, I think of Snidely Whiplash and, you know, old Dudley Do-Right. Like, I think of all those things when you talk about that. But Jean Grey, I think when it comes down to it, is almost kind of like the mother figure. And because she is that, she's the heart and soul of it all. And I see where you're coming from with the Phoenix part of it. You know, and I love Dark Phoenix Saga above and beyond everything else. Like, I've been reading, I've gotten back into reading some of the stuff. Thank you, all of you. But that whole piece of it, when it came down to it, and, you know, obviously it wasn't really her, but it was that struggle of heart versus power and trying to find that balance and seeing somebody that was able to wrap all that power into everything, and then whether or not it was just the embodiment of her persona in the Phoenix that took it to that next level where it had a conscience, it had a heart more than anything else.
And she was so powerful enough to put it at rest. And I love that. I love to see her, that the growth of her to do that, even though it did turn out not to be her. But just to see all that just fascinated me.
And I think no matter what, is that either which way, it was almost a reciprocal venture for the Phoenix at that point, because with bringing Jean back, no matter what, it almost was like a piece of the Phoenix lived in her while a piece of her lived in the Phoenix.
Right.
And that's why, and then after they brought her back, you know, from the bottom of the ocean, she kept on that progression because of the fact that the Phoenix was a part of her at some point in
time. When they did End Song, they explained that neither can survive without the other anymore. And I did like people ask me, they're like, okay, who do you want to see? Do you want to see Phoenix or do you want Jean Grey back? And I much, because she's the heart and soul, I'd much rather have Jean Grey.
Exactly. You know, yeah.
Just to see a bitch slap Emma.
Ooh, wow. Well, but she won't. Well, anyway. I think Pat raises a great point, though. The X books have, I think, historically, more than any other series, been very pro-woman empowerment. Having such a rich character. I mean, they have, you know, Rogue, Shadowcat,
Storm.
Well, look at Storm. I mean, back in the day, she was the leader. Powerless, she beat Cyclops for leadership of the X-Men.
Yeah.
You know, and she was leader. It was the first, never mind African-American woman.
Yes.
She was the first woman that was in charge of a big team in Marvel.
Absolutely. So I think the X-Books really have paved the way. And now you see with the Avengers a bit more of that. Although, I mean, the Avengers have had their strong women, too. But
well, they try. See, like, I see, like, the Avengers, even the Justice League. Like, I remember they had Black Canary for a second, chairperson.
Yeah.
And it was a joke because Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman still in charge on the side.
Yeah.
You know, so they still treated them like a joke. So it's like you'll still have, like, your Captain America, everybody will go to Superman or Batman, and they won't really take them seriously.
Well, and that's the good point about the Storm Cyclops whole, you know, when she was leading the Morlocks and she beat him for control, for leadership of the X-Men. The thing I loved about it, and getting back into reading again, is the fact that when Emma was going through her whole thing, when the Hellfire Club and Cassandra Nova came back up, that whole thing of, you know, when it came time to for Cyclops to put his leadership up for grabs, or you know, up in a contest, that he was taken out by Storm.
Yeah.
And the fact that when it comes out, and to Brian's point with, you know, the X-Books having, you know, a lot of female empowerment, look at all the major stories, there always tends to be the inclusion of a new female character. You know, even going back to Dark Phoenix Saga, where that was such a Jean-centric storyline because of the Phoenix, look who it brought in. Dazzler. You know, that was one of those where you've got somebody new, and it tends to be a female. You know, they
Dazzler,
do.
Kitty.
Yeah.
I mean, let's call Dazzler what she really is. Gem.
Without the cool earrings and pink hair.
Well, hey. Let's talk about
Gem. She had the roller skates.
Can we?
Let's talk about Gem.
Yay!
Let's talk about Gem. Go.
Okay. I love Gem. I remember watching Gem. Gem is a
But
a
you
child.
Were alive for that, right? But you were alive
well,
for that.
I saw it in like
Boomerang
rerun. Yes, Boomerang. And it's funny because like my mother had a struggle with, you know, me, like her raising me to be really masculine and a man and like a black man at that, and there's a whole.
But yet she named you Oral.
Yes, she did.
This is what this episode is all about.
Yeah, we're not going into the naming.
Okay.
But like I would not get in trouble. She wouldn't really like punish me, but she tried to steer me away from the quote unquote typical girl shows. But those are the shows that I like. My Little Ponies. Later on, I watched Sailor Moon. I love Gem.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I watched those, too.
Yeah. Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders
yes.
in secret. Sunday mornings.
Yes.
I would wake up Sunday mornings before church. It was awesome.
I don't know. I had Charlie's Angels, The Bionic Woman, and Wonder Woman. Those were my shows.
I used to watch Wonder Woman as well. And, like, My mother, I think at one point she just kind of gave up.
You're a lost cause.
But like for me, it always seemed like they were women. The shows that I would watch, they were women and men's worlds. And there was something special about them that allowed them to like rise above the normal station of women. And that's what I kind of liked about it. Like you can be the outside, you can be on the outside looking in. And if you're special enough and you have a computer called Synergy, you get to be on stage and in front of everyone.
And fabulous accessories. Uh-huh. Don't forget the earrings.
Are you staring at my omnibus?
Uh-huh.
Did you like how
it's
I pulled
so
that off my shelf?
Big.
And opened it up? Do you
girls,
like how
let me see
how thick
girls,
it is?
Focus.
Yes.
Focus.
It's very thick.
Sorry.
Focus. Sorry.
This is very masculine of us. So I didn't watch Jim. Did anyone watch Care Bears and like Gummy Bears?
Oh, no. I'm not that kid.
God damn it. Kissy Fur. What the fuck was I doing as a kid?
I watched Gummy Bears and Care Bears.
We were getting into our roles in life. We were being prepared.
See, but
this is going to be the generation of homos.
But even, you know, and I watched Gem. You know, it just was part of what I, you know, my growing up. But even watching something like G.I. Joe, you know, Scarlet and Lady Jane, that's who I was drawn to. Like, you know, so it's still a quote unquote masculine or, you know, a boy thing to watch, but they still had
the
female characters, you know, Baroness even, you know.
Of course, because if you had just all male characters, it would just be a huge sausage fest.
Well, see, I liked, like, Adam West, Batman, and Robin, but I used to get really excited when I saw the little Batgirl cycle go across the screen. I'm like, oh, Batgirl! But granted, all she did was kick.
High kicks.
I'm like, girl. But that used to throw me as a kid.
Okay. Boys can high kick, too, even if they're bears.
All right, well, that was fantastic. Fantastic. I feel a lot more learned about women in general, because it's such a foreign topic to me now, even though I come from a very large Catholic family with mostly girls.
Now, Jared, are you a gold star gay as well?
Gold star gay. I'm not familiar with that term.
The term, I don't know where it comes from, but it's indicating you've never been with a woman.
It's derogatory to
people
who experience both sexes.
So you're a muggle. Okay, yes, I just had to ask, because you seem very, you know.
I know we touch on the subject a lot in the show, but I guess for maybe new listeners or for people who are, you know, recent to the show, let's talk about how homosexuals have been portrayed in popular media up until this time.
Well, if you're in DC, you're never going to have sex again.
Oh my God. The comic book queers were
unless
just
you're a lesbian,
talking about
unless
that.
You're a lesbian.
Oh my God.
The lesbian, she's hooking up with Wonder Woman now and her team up.
I know. I'm excited. Batwoman.
The Batwoman and Wonder Woman teaming up.
So it's drawn by J.H. Williams.
Yeah,
again.
It's beautiful.
I'm confused to why do you say you'll never have sex again if you're a DC gay character?
Okay, Obsidian. I'm gay. Did you ever see him with a man? Alan Scott. What happened to his boyfriend?
Oh, he died.
Oh, dead.
How'd he die? Horribly, horribly, in a train wreck.
Okay.
So it's now gay in the fridge.
Yeah.
A fag in the fridge, I don't know. Yeah, the comic book queers were just talking about that issue of Earth 2 and how,
I mean, I liked it.
It's like, cool that they had this big reveal of Green Lantern as a gay character and all that, but then they completely neutered him by killing off his boyfriend and then giving him a position that'll probably keep him really busy and he won't date anybody.
He's never going to date. Yeah. I'm gay, but I'm never gay. And then Marvel, they keep killing the boyfriend, but they bring him back miraculously and he's married now.
Who?
North Star? How many times Wolverine killed North Star?
Oh, yeah.
How many times did they kill Kyle?
Oh, whatever happened with Astonishing X-Men, this is totally a tangent, but did they ever resolve why Wolverine got, like, obliterated at the end of that issue?
Yeah. Okay, so I'll take it from here. Sorry, it's getting out of gender, but I'll bring it back in. So, apparently there's this new big bad, to use Buffy slang, that implanted him with nanotechnology, and it literally, like, they all banded together in his intestines and blew him up. But that's really not the important thing. That's I have issues with this story arc. My issue is, okay, so we got a gay marriage, and, you know, we find them in bed, and they're, you know, talking, and they're doing, like, coupley things, you know, oh, you have to go to work, which is, like, fight crime, and, you know, I've got a image to maintain for you. And they're about to kiss, and Jean-Paul just kind of like
zooms
off.
Yep.
Like, that's it. You'll never see them kiss again. You'll never see them kiss unless one of them has been drowning and is administering CPR to the other.
Or they're just about to die.
Yep.
But I love you, kiss, dead. It's, you know, it's kind of portrayed. The lesbians are portrayed pretty well.
Really?
Like Batwoman, I think.
Yeah, no. The Batwoman is definitely well written as a lesbian.
Batwoman. And I like, now I've been, like, starting to read because I haven't really kept up with the new Batwoman, but now I have been, like, because of Wonder Woman. So Maggie Sawyer, who was with Superman, the cop, and now they're together as a couple, yeah. And I like that. And I always liked Maggie Sawyer. I thought she was portrayed well as the lesbian in Superman comics. Even in the animated series.
Yeah.
She was there. They didn't say, I'm a lesbian, but she was in the hospital when Darkseid was attacking, mm-hmm. and her lover was there and put her hand, they held hands.
Wow.
In the hospital.
In
and
the
that
cartoon,
was it.
Cartoon, wow.
It wasn't, but people who read the comics knew.
Yeah.
You know, so that was cool. But I think lesbians betray because that's more of the fanboy thing.
What about other media? I actually did a little bit of research.
Porn?
Oh, please do tell.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I did that too. But,
do tell.
That's what we're talking about.
So the actual first depiction of an openly gay character, I didn't realize, was that not actually until 1971 with All in the Family. And it was actually starting out as, you know, Archie Bunker and All in the Family is this irascible
right.
bigot, you know, all that stuff. But the show is very progressive in its agenda to try to, like, you know, get people talking about these kind of social issues. And they started out with a friend of Archie's that was very, very flamboyant. And I'm sure one of the tropes would refer to him, but we'll call him the Paul Lind for this situation. If you're not familiar with Paul Lind, not Darren. What was the uncle, whatever on Bewitched? Well, more contemporary reference, the alien from American Dad. That's Paul Lynn, basically,
yeah,
not really, because he's dead. But anyway, so started out as that kind of characterization. Turns out that guy is straight, but then Archie's best, like, masculine friend who hang out at the same bar was the gay guy. And I had not seen that episode. I actually really, after hearing that and some of the stuff from Fresh Air when they interviewed Norman Mailer, I always get his name wrong. But anyway, and some of the cast from All in the Family, I really want to go back and watch it because it sounds like an amazingly funny and, for that era, very progressive show. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was the first openly gay man.
Okay.
And since then, of course, we've had
Uncle
many.
Arthur? Yes.
Uncle Arthur. So before 1971.
Before I check that, I'm going to check it now.
I think you're right. And who did Steve Carell play him in the movie, I think? Did anybody see the Bewitched movie?
Unfortunately.
Oh, well, I didn't see it. But I remember Carell played that, and I thought that was a perfect choice. But before 1971, gays were not explicitly, like, mentioned or dealt with. There were just gay, fae characters or caricatures.
What about Milton Berle? I mean, he was the cross-dresser of
Well, that's
time.
Different. So we're talking about just this. In this case, we're talking about just gay characters and that issue. But in terms of gender, yes, cross-dressing actually predates Berle, and it goes back even to Shakespeare's era.
Yeah, right.
That's where we get the term drag queen from.
Yeah. So, I mean, that men used to cross gender in that way for a comedic effect or for utility
acting.
Yeah. I mean, that's an old trope. But this, Jared actually found this interesting website, which I'd never seen before.
It's TV Tropes. It's a huge, it's a plethora of storytelling devices that are just, you know, they're written out as these very easily accessible, things, but they've got a whole litany of different topics, and, you know, one of them is they have queer as tropes. These are specifically gay tropes. I don't know where else to go with that.
Well, okay, what about Bugs Bunny? I grew up with Bugs Bunny, and he was a homo. He always dressed up as the girl. He always was flirting with all the boys. He was monsters of such interesting people of such interesting lives. He is a homo.
Yes, yes.
His lashes were always on point.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Fabulous lipstick. And I watched the new Looney Tunes to see just as gay.
Mm-hmm.
Just as gay. I was like, oh, he still has that wig?
So any other contemporary references that we can fish out?
I remember a very special episode of 90210 when they were in college. I think it was the first season they were in college. So it was about, I think, 94 or so. And
that was good times for me.
Was that before or after they closed Studio 54?
That was after.
After.
Oh,
okay. Steve and Brandon, I'm not going to give their real names because those are their real names. their car breaks down and they go into this coffee shop, I think called like Equatorial or yeah, Equatorial. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're looking around trying to use the phone. That was the first like, uh-oh, I might have some issues in the future type right. of moment I ever had.
Really?
I mean, no, not the first rumblings. Of,
oh, okay. I was
like,
going to say.
That's Albert Engels on Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And Will Wheaton.
Yeah, he was hot.
Oh, Will Wheaton, yeah.
And Jonathan Brandis.
I don't like blondes. Just saying.
I had a thing for Jonathan Brandis. I got
May he rest in peace.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Well, the references that I usually draw from are usually from video games. And you know, there's like, you know, hundreds of them. Most popular is Birdo. Who here has played Mario Brothers?
Oh, Birdo. Mario Brothers 2, right?
Yes, Mario Brothers 2.
Or Toki Toki Dash.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, for those of you who don't know, Birdo's actually a dude.
With a bow on his hair and he lays eggs. Or he just guard eggs. Does he lay or guard them?
I don't know.
We don't know.
If he lays him, then he's a lesbian.
Oh, that's right. That was your first reference. So I was actually thinking of Flamingo from Punch-Out. What's the, not Soda Popinski, but who is the Flamingo guy?
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but I forget his
name. I mean,
name.
Okay, so there is that fine line in terms of gender roles.
Is he gay or not?
Well, gay or European, or as I like to play at Epcot, gay or Eurotrash. And I apologize. Wow. I apologize to all our European listeners, of which there might be a couple.
We've just been blackballed.
I want you to know, everyone in the UK, the Netherlands, I love you.
Why did we say the Netherlands? Some dreamy Netherlands man just came in the shop.
Really?
He was so
hot. He follows Aaron online.
Yeah. Oh, well, how about that? Yeah. You know, we have some Swedish followers, I think, because on Twitter, I've noticed a couple, like, Swedish, I think it's Swedish.
Send me lingonberries.
And they're always tagging Flame On. I don't know. Oh, anyway.
This is
good. But in the new Punch-Out, there's actually a black character, and I can't think of his name either.
Oh.
But do you know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He says something like, "Here it comes." And it's just the most, like, fey sort of, yeah, it's bad.
They did one for Grand Theft Auto, too, a whole version.
Ballad
of
Gay Tony,
yep.
Yes.
I've never played it.
I saw the coming tracks, and I was like, whoa. It was a little too gay for me.
And a little more contemporary, we have things like Bully, where I believe you can also have, like, there's a gay story or
all the BioWare games recently.
All the BioWare games. Fable.
I now have a husband in Skyrim. Which is the only husband I'll have for the foreseeable future.
I had a husband too, but you know,
Did you send him off to die?
I totally forgot about it.
You know,
pretty much. He just sits in the shop making money for me. It's like, hi, you got money for me?
So you're his pimp, you're not his husband. Yes.
Oh, sounds like a real marriage. Yeah, in the new Star Wars The Old Republic MMO that Brian and I play a little bit, BioWare is known for having gay characters, like we just said, but they didn't have any in this game, and they asked the one of the game producers why. He says there's no gay people in Star Wars, but there was a huge backlash against that. So now he had to like sort of backpedal and be like, "Oh no, we're gonna update it with a gay content patch."
They still have not.
Well, hey, I know, but hey, apparently it's coming. Maybe not. We'll
what's,
see.
What's weird is that there's such an enormous community of homosexuals in the Star Trek community.
Yes,
which, you know,
Star Trek, Renfair. And bondage.
Yes.
They all go together. If you find someone into two of those, they're into the third. I guarantee you.
I've never been a part of Renfair.
Really? You sure about that?
What is
Think
that?
Deep. Think back.
What is that?
What?
A Renaissance?
Renaissance.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. A little
you dress
slogan.
Up. Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
And just to pull out one more video game reference, who here's played Final Fight or Streets of Rage?
Oh,
yeah, of course.
I have.
Yep. We have the was it the Freddie Mercury reference that they had in that one character?
What?
I should have researched this, but
I remember the image.
Yeah, the image
the
is this very very butch looking guy, but he's wearing this like violent purple vest, which, you know, it's open. He's got this huge, was it a female or male symbol that's dangling off of his chest?
Probably the male symbol.
And
but...
then, you know, he's wearing the chaps and, you know, the huge codpiece. So, yeah, it's just a very obviously gay character. Yeah.
Japanese culture's got an interesting thing about that. I don't get it.
Yeah.
What about female? You know, we're very hyper masculine and very male aware, but like Samus Aran.
Yes.
Certainly strong female archetype
that,
in video games from way back.
A lot of people's minds when they found out that Samus was a woman.
I was kind of like, oh, cool.
Actually, it just made a lot of guys go, whew. Yeah. So these fantasies weren't bad after all.
Rolling up into the ball, and I don't know what you can do with that.
Thank you for ruining my joke.
Damn it.
Thank you for ruining and stopping.
I'm passing
my
microphone away.
Keep that German fest.
Listen, you probably got it from your freaking store anyway at the party. I blame your customers.
Girls. Let's
Joshua did come in before you did.
Oh.
I didn't say who Joshua was.
Damn it. He's a friend of the show and he likes to treat.
Oh, wait, can I backtrack horribly back to the comics conversation?
Sure. What would you like to say?
It just came to mind that, you know.
He's quick.
I don't get it.
I love you.
I missed it too. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, because it took me 20 minutes to think of it. Sure.
Yes.
I got that joke. It only took me 20 seconds. Anyways, Why the Last Man by Brian K. Vaughan?
Yes.
That is like the ultimate
lesbians.
Comic book gender.
Yes.
Gender soda.
Honestly, can I say something? I have read halfway through Why the Last Man. I have not finished it. And one of the reasons I have a hard time with it is it's a little too much of that world. I don't know. I just
can't. I agree with
you.
You
can't imagine yourself in a woman's world like that,
no.
Can you?
This is the thing. I used to have in high school, I was thinking about this earlier, I had so many more girlfriends in high school and college than male friends, although my fraternity was pretty male, but whatever. But I just, that world, I can't bring myself into it. I just can't.
Come on, I realize if I was the last man.
It makes you uncomfortable,
doesn't
it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
okay,
it's disgusting.
It does.
The human race would be screwed if one of us.
It would have.
Yeah.
Well, hey, it'd be a lot easier to repopulate the species that way, though.
Yeah, but what? Am I going to have sex with my son?
Yes. Ew.
Oh.
Ew.
Really? Really?
Ew. Why? Why did I just say that?
Oh, God. No, I mean.
Go ahead. Kill me.
Well, I was going to say, like, Brian, I'm going to have to completely disagree with you. Here's why. Whenever I try to sell why to people, I explain to people that it's not like man's problems, it's human problems. Taking away the other gender.
So that's how you make it okay
irrelevant.
With yourself.
They cling to.
That's how you make it okay for yourself. Meaning about the book, not about you.
Okay, I'm just like, I'm so confused. Yeah, no, exactly. And so, like, the issues that people have of, like, considering gender, they don't make any sense in that world. Like, as you go along and you realize there's one guy left, you're like, oh, okay, so men did... I didn't ruin it. Men do exist still, but for the greater population, that doesn't apply.
See, for me, it just showed me that women are just as screwed up as men, because eventually they started doing... They said women would do everything so much better, and they're just showing they would do the same thing.
And trust me when I say this, and I love my lesbian friends, but that is so fucking true.
Right.
They are so...
They think they will make it so much better, but they would
men.
Do it the same way.
And as many people... And I actually feel like we should have a woman president, and we should have more women in positions of power like Hillary Clinton and all that. But, oh my God, there is... Mm-hmm. Just as much fucked up about
they
women.
Think they, everybody thinks they could do a better job than somebody else.
Yes.
You know? But, until they get the job.
Anyway, Why the Last Man is a very appropriate reference, I think.
Well, actually, thank you for segueing that in, because it leads to our final discussion topic, which Jay
Jones...
Yeah,
you're welcome.
...personally... Jay Jones personally had selected for this episode.
I love you, Jay Jones.
We all love Jay Jones. And can I just say...
Yes, shout out to Jay Jones.
Jay Jones is the best, most... homo-friendly straight man I know.
Yes. He's a fantastic kisser.
I did not say that. I don't know anything about that. I do know that he can drink.
He is.
Oh, my God.
He can put away his alcohol.
And he could disappear.
Bam. Oh, really?
And prance.
He. Oh, my God, yes. I watched him prance down the runway of the store I was shocked, and I was like, "Really, Jay? Really? You wonder why we sometimes think maybe, but I he's not, and he's an amazing guy, and we all love Jay.
Excellent.
Not just because he, you know, is awesome
and sexy.
All right, so
I didn't say it.
What Jay had specifically asked was for 90s family sitcoms. Why is the father depicted as a bumbling idiot while the mother is portrayed as the straight man, the logical hero of these series?
That's very true.
Yeah.
Well, because it's true. The women really ran the household. Mm-hmm. And the father was the bubbling idiot.
But, you know, think back to even Bewitched era.
Bewitched or
Same
Leave
thing.
It to Beether.
Yeah. No, I mean, the woman.
Well, wasn't Darren a homo?
No. Was he?
In real life? Yes, he was.
No. See, I don't believe in second Darren. I only
And wasn't
in
Agnes Moorehead a lesbian?
Oh, was she?
I don't know. That's what my lesbian mother said.
I don't know. But
no,
think about it. In the history of sitcoms, I love Lucy. Although there is that whole Lucy, and Ricky's like, yeah, and all that. But no, Lucy is the protagonist, and her friend
Ethel.
Like, they get into crazy adventures, but at the end of the day, a lot of times, they're the ones that are kind of right, and Ricky's the crazy one. And same thing with Bewitched. Same thing with I Dream of Jeannie. So I guess I'm getting at is I don't think it's just isolated to the 90s. I think throughout the history of television, the women have been the ones who are more of the relatable, sane whatever, and the men have been the outlandish kind of crazy ones.
Well, the 90s thing I interjected, unfortunately, because that's where my mind.
Well, but you're right. You identified, Tim Allen in
Home Improvement.
Home Improvement. Alf a little bit to some extent. That was like late 80s, I guess. I'm trying to think of any other 90s characters.
I don't remember anything. I'm sorry. I was drunk and high and blur. It's a blur. I watched it all. But
what about TV now? I don't really. Modern Family is actually.
Oh, I love that show.
Kind of a reversal of that because. Clearly, Bundy's character, or whatever his name,
Ed O'Neill,
thank you. He's definitely more of the kind of reasonable guy, and his wife is crazy, but she's hilarious.
So hot.
But actually, the daughter is more of the sane compared to her crazy husband.
Okay.
And then we have the gay guys, which are just hilarious. You know, but I don't know any other. I don't know any other contemporary sitcoms.
You guys would know more than I do because I don't watch much television.
Yeah, television is all over the map right now. But it is interesting to think that women actually in television, in sitcoms anyway, have been the dominant role. So, what about movies? Can we think about any kind of movie thing? I think there's been few, and I'm sure there are a few, but notable movies where women take the center stage. And I think Glenn Close and what's her name? The other one.
Meryl Streep.
other big
really
blonde.
The only two.
They're like the ones that you think of when you think of go-to women, strong women.
I mean, Julia Roberts for like a second.
I mean, I like to talk about, do you ever see Revolutionary Road with Kate Winslet?
No.
And that was about, what was that, in like the 40s or something?
By her husband, Sam Mendes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, it's her and Leonardo DiCaprio are this couple, sort of traditional
That's
American
Titanic.
Couple. I know. And they go, they settle down in this neighborhood, and she can't stand it being like the stay-at-home mom. So she wants to move to Europe and go, and she'll do the working, and her husband will just stay home and like do whatever he wants, blah blah blah. And she wants to do that, but then of course something happens, and she has to stay there, and it drives her insane.
Yeah.
And so she, it's a movie about a woman trying to like defy her role, and is eventually like, defeated by it. And it's really depressing, but it's poignant for this podcast.
Absolutely. Well, and that
Eric
era,
starts to cry. He's like, why would you tell me that story?
Well, I think about Mad Men going back to TV, although a different kind of TV. And Mad Men really encapsulates that mentality.
Yeah.
And this was the mentality of my parents, certainly. The mother stayed at home and raised the children, and the man went and earned the money. And I, you know, what's awesome about Mad Men is you see that in the Don Draper and his wife at one point, whatever. But then all the women at the office, January Jones, I never think of her.
Emma?
Yeah, Emma. No, she's not. But I mean, you see that subverted by all of those women, those strong women in his office. You know, and even the women that he has affairs with, how a lot of times they're really strongly defined, you know, characters. So, but that era, just I think about that. And then contrast that with the fact that the television was so not that, you know, kind of subversive against that idea. Because that model is still around today. I mean, so many women stay at home.
Yeah, we know. So many. I mean, unfortunately, today's we can't really do it today.
Well, that's true. You know, you need two incomes. But I mean, up until like let's say the '80s, I mean, that was still pretty dominant.
It's still my dream. I would love to be a stay home mom, kids.
Yeah,
being a lush pill popper again. Oh, it would be such a good time.
Also, prescription drugs,
of course.
Yes, of course.
In my own like writing, whenever I write something, I don't consider myself a feminist, but when I look at things that I write,
really?
I really, really, really am. And although feminist has sort of become like a dirty word, or people take it the wrong way.
It's always been a dirty word.
They get this vision of like a fierce Amazon, you know, kind of thing.
A Wonder Woman?
A Wonder Woman. No, but like when
let me bring a picture up of my mother.
Oh. You know, for a comic book anthology that'll be coming out soon from a comic shop in Orlando, Florida. Comic book team up. Let's plug that. I wrote a story, but the main character was like a 15-year-old girl, and she has to like save the day.
Well, you're
through her like, but she the obstacles are like her social life.
Oh well, the other story I know that you've written that will someday see the light of day. That also had a very strong female protagonist.
Yes, it was a woman who was kidnapped, but I wanted to show like what kind of woman it would take to get out of this situation and not be the damsel in distress with no one to help her.
Exactly.
So
yes, you know, men seem to be threatened by this kind of woman.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Look this at like what the new Disney Pixar Brave that came out. Like all this like saying that she's a lesbian because she didn't want to deal with marriage or men. Right? And everything.
I never heard that, but that could be seen. For sure. Like,
you know, it's so she didn't want to get married.
I want my own path. That was horrible.
But it's so funny because you see that and people feel threatened and all that. But then you see stuff like Buffy that had a very strong female protagonist.
And a lesbian there.
And a lesbian. Xena. Hello.
Yes.
The archetype of lesbos.
I love Xena.
Look at it.
Many, many, many straight men who may or may not feel threatened by a woman or whatever, they love that stuff. They actually really love it.
And you know what, Joss Whedon, who wrote Buffy, someone was interviewing him, and they said, "Why do you write such strong women characters?" And he just responded with, "Because you have to ask me that question."
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he's so smart. We all love Joss. Oh, anyway. All right,
fabulous. I think that just about covers it, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. We never talked more about third gender.
No, we didn't. But
Taint Buster. I'll show you sometime.
Look it up online. Actually, XTube, Taint Buster, you will not be disappointed.
Ooh.
Let me tell... No.
Please don't do that. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us.
Yes, and you can find us on flameonshow.com, which the Nerdy Show is being reorganized, and we have actually nerdyshow.com/flameon now.
Yes.
/flameon. We also are on Facebook. You can find us there. Twitter handle, which, man, Twitter is blowing up. Flame On Podcast. We are on Tumblr on flameonshow.tumblr.com and Google Plus. But no,
you'll find all these in the show notes, of course.
Of course, of course. We will have amazing show notes, as always.
Message us on Grindr.
No. Well, actually, and we will be traveling around. The question will be up in New York City. I'll be in Baltimore. Actually, I'll be in Star Wars community tomorrow, but you won't hear this until later. So, it was amazing. Star Wars was amazing.
Fantastic.
It was great.
No, but I mean, really, Form Spring, we're up there. Ask us questions. If you want more episodes like this, where we address a topic that you care about, let us know, and we will either do another pledge drive, which would be great, or we'll just say, yeah, it's a great idea, and we'll do it.
And we appreciate all of you being so patient with us, because we know it's been months since we said we were going to do this.
Oh, yes. No, it was basically May.
So if you get in your request now, you'll see it by 2014.
Hey, we're still faster than Nerdy Show, I just want to say.
Ooh.
I love the Nerdy Show, people.
Shade.
I'm just saying, man, some of their things, they waited almost a year.
Yeah, a big thank you to everyone who donated. That was really awesome.
Thank you.
You got us to Gay Days. You heard the Gay Days episode. You know how much fun we had. So we appreciate it. Aww. Hey, he brought us brownies, okay?
Wow.
I like how there was
the last time I...
That is, for each of us. What happened to the other one?
Listen, there was at least one for everybody in this house, all right? Just saying. What if you come to Barioke at Stumble Bar Orlando on Wednesday nights from 10 to 2? Bob Hay makes delicious, delicious baked goods every week. Next week is Rum Balls. Which you won't hear this before that. So
I'd love to taste
the rumbles were delicious.
Bob must have No. It's done.
Swedish meatballs.
All right, on that illustrious note.
Are we flaming out?
Sure.
Flame off. Boys in the girls' room.